Black, stop playing with him.
What's up? This is an episode of Sauce Talk. It's been a long time since I've added an episode. I've been doing a lot of video posting on TikTok. Boxing has been the main push. Been sitting there talking some wrestling as well. You know, AEW, WWE, stuff that goes on, you know, breaking news and stuff like that. I've been trying to be more on video. So I've been posting a lot of videos on TikTok. Whether it be a minute to 3 minutes, 5 minutes, or 10 minute videos on what I talk about on here. So I've kind of transitioned to doing those clips to where I'm trying to get back into taking the clips to where it'd be a part of the podcast, and then I can put clips as, you know, TikTok posts instead of me posting my, you know, content fully on TikTok and not posting episodes on here on Spotify. I'm trying to, you know, marry the two, because I see success here, lack thereof here, and it makes me go towards there. So it's like, I still enjoy having guests. I've sit there and, you know, this episode right here, me and a good friend, Andrew Hosted, we're going to talk about wrestling, pro wrestling, leading up to WrestleMania, the past, our takes on this and that. This is a good conversation that happens organically lots of times. This time, organic, I decided to hit the record button, and we went on. So enjoy that hour, but in the future, hopefully we're going to get some more boxing episodes on here, but go check out Sauce Talk on TikTok for all the content I do talking boxing, what's coming up in boxing, the drama, you know, social media is a big thing in boxing now, so I pretty much give my take, my opinions, my knowledge, and hopefully that turns into me, you know, having guests on that's involved in the sport of professional boxing, so that's my goal. I don't stop. I do have breaks. So I try not to stop. I don't stop Sauce Talk because I believe in this, what I talk about, what I do, to where I want to take it to the next level, to where I can be able to make it a living for me, but also make it fun to the viewers, listeners now, viewers later, because I got viewers as far as TikTok, but that's TikTok. I would like to have my own platform with how I set up, you know, saying the video, whether I post it on YouTube, because that would be more for the video of posting episodes or going live. That's my focus, my goal. So this episode right here, this hour, me and Andrew Hosted talking about pro wrestling and leading up towards, you know, Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania, but also just scattered conversations, you know, our knowledge of wrestling. I think y'all will enjoy that for the wrestling fans out there that sees this and see that, you know, that is what this episode is about. So y'all enjoy. Have a good one. Sauce Talk them out.
Get the man working in the Performance Center down till April. I have a great WrestleMania moment for him. They know what's going to happen.
What's that?
We're getting two Usos against each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know there's interference when we play here. There's always interference.
Facts.
We're going to have Mr. Solo come out to help
Jimmy.
Jacob help Jay.
That'll be dope.
Go flat out full Civil War.
That'll be dope. Yeah, because it's more than just Jacob.
Mm-hmm. So, I know Rikishi has, what, 5 children?
Mm-hmm. Two of them is doing their thing with Jacob and, I can't think of his other name.
Jacob, Jay, Solo, and
I can't think of his other name, man. Because they do tag matches sometimes. And, like, I can't think of his name. But he be doing some crazy shit, too. I'd be like, oh, my God. But the best thing that Jacob does is that darn his Samoan drop. Like,
mm-hmm.
The best Samoan drop I've ever seen. And he catches you at any point with it. His off the top rope stuff's cool. But you don't want him doing that too much.
Yeah.
He's a title holder. like for me, like he's a heel title holder. I don't see him as a babyface title holder, but I see him as a heel like title holder. Like somebody could be like, oh, he snapped. Like, and he wouldn't be Jacob Fatu either. So you're right, he is smarter than what we think. Cause
he has five children, Joseph, Joshua, and Jonathan. Dear God, him and his J's. Is J, Jimmy, and Solo. And then you have Jacob's. Is the fifth one just not wrestling?
He must be a cousin then. Because I'm telling you, I've seen footage. It's him and somebody look like him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa. I cannot think of his name. But like I said, I just know, I know Jacob probably is like, yeah, I dig that. That makes the most sense that he don't want to be thrown right into no bloodline thing where he's below Solo.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame him. Because
how old is he? I don't know. I think somebody
86, so he's
30, but I say he gotta be around 35. 37.
Yeah, he's older than Solo, and he's the one that.
Yeah, he's 37.
And remember when Rikishi posted there's another one coming? That was him.
Wow.
So, it makes things. Because Jimmy and Jay are older.
Yeah.
By a year. That's too many Fatus.
Yesterday I did a dance. I went.
Wait, hold on. There's seven kids?
Bro, I looked at the whole bloodline the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jesus. What's how you say the last name? Anoa?
Fatu. Or they're all Fatus.
Right, but I'm saying the.
Anoa's.
Anoa, yeah. Joe.
He has seven kids.
That last name is bigger than.
Here's all five of them, but they're not showing the youngest, who is 16, and Solo.
That's crazy.
Could you imagine having seven sons?
Seven sons, man. That's like calling it. It's like calling you shot. Like, hey.
Yeah.
Boy.
Well, yours is always girls, so.
Right, that's, that's what I'm saying. Like, calling shots.
And his youngest is 6'5", 265 right now. He's going to be like a Umaga type.
Yep.
Or really a Rikishi type.
I'm about to say. Like a chip off the old block right there, or should I say, ring.
Yeah. That wasn't fall from. Fall yeah. From, too far from it.
Yeah. As well, man. That'd be crazy if he kind of had that moveset, but nah, you can't recreate. You can't rehash that moveset. You can't reboot Rikishi, man. That was a one-off.
Yeah, Rikishi is one of those you couldn't.
I do believe this, though. Now, call me crazy on this one.
I do believe. Door being shut. Let's go.
I do believe in this. And this is probably my craziest take. Is that at some point, I do believe that the Undertaker character can be done by somebody else. Meaning, hear me out. The character that Undertaker was and what he is. Now, he's not going to detach himself from the wrestling world. I look at it to like going back to the clip to when he got in the ear of Bray Wyatt when he put LA Knight down. And it's crazy when you think about it. But some years down the road, not say 2-3, but some years down the road, the lights get dark, and Undertaker is basically a better Paul Bearer than Paul Bearer to the next Undertaker. Because the void of that type of character to this day, because Bray Wyatt's gone, who was going to be that? Damon Finn Balor, that doesn't get enough push. Damian Priest is not it. They got rid of Malakai Black. So when you look at some years down the road, there's got to be somebody that's going to be big that don't mind that type of character arc to where he could come in and then Undertaker be like a manager.
They have failed the recreation so many times. And that's true. And that's what becomes hard.
That's why I said it's a big take.
The hardest part of the recreating Taker is social media, really. Social media was, without the lack of it, helped Taker's career. Because you start throwing out Boogeyman.
Yeah.
He was the first attempt, and he was actually really good. The problem was, they just got him way too late.
Yeah.
Because he was already 40, I think, when he signed.
Yeah. Whenever I was going crazy over him, and it was crazy that wrestling heads back then was like, dude, he's old.
Yeah.
It was like, he's old, man. Like, he's... They was like, that man was... I was like, really?
He was 59.
Oh, my
He's Lord. 59 currently. And
yeah,
that...
Yeah, definitely.
And he started his career at 39. It's not a hate on him. I absolutely love his character, but he just... It was way too late.
Right. That's wild. But I guess... I wonder if he was 39 today, how would it go? Because if you look at LA Knight...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That would have been one thing, because, like... Is he... Taker's younger than Boogeyman. Put that in. So we had that the first chance. Of course you had Kane, but Kane worked perfectly because he was a spinoff.
Yes.
Not exactly a sequel, not a successor, a spinoff. And it worked perfectly.
Yep. He took that character and did amazing things.
Technically, you can say Papa Shango was the first iteration of the character.
Mm-hmm. Vader was somewhat, but not... Ghoulie.
No, Vader was just a big baddie.
Yeah.
But they kind of ruined him in
Gangrel, I think.
Gangrel's a great example.
Yeah. I think the faction ruined that because...
It wasn't the faction, it was how they were booked. And that's where it becomes the problem. Like, then you have... So we had, technically, Shango, Taker, then Gangrel. Gangrel just booked poorly. Papa Shango was booked poorly. Mm-hmm. Going to the 2000s, we didn't have anything until, you'd say Viscera. And Viscera was just terrible.
Terrible. Like, God awful terrible.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of that ECW, because that Monsters Ball match. Shane Thorne, I think is what his name was, the vampire gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And I only remember him because his valet, and I... I love watching ECW back then, just for that teenage boy.
Shane Thorne.
I think that's what his name was. I'm probably wrong on that one.
I'm trying to remember the vampire gimmick. See, and that's the thing about ECW, I'm very spotty on. But got to see a lot of VCR footage of that. Like, a lot of VCR taped, like, whole shows. But I remember a lot of Jerry Lynn, RVD Sabu, Dreamer. You know, the heavy hitters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Dudley Boys. And, you know, the in-between guys I didn't fully pay attention to. Like, New Jack, like, I probably watched 4 or 5 New Jack matches. Didn't even pay attention.
I'm going to check Kevin Thorne.
Kevin Thorne, okay.
Kevin Thorne and Ariel was her name.
Oh, shit. Now I'm remembering. Okay.
Ariel. Yeah, doesn't help with the modern day era of goth girlfriends being very popular. And then Bray started. It was really the order. And Bray's problem was the exact same thing. If he was booked to win more, I think he would have been a great successor.
Yep.
But he wasn't.
Right. Well, y'all wanted him to be Triple H or whoever the hell was running whenever Bray Wyatt came out. And O'Shea talked about this on Chris Van Vliet, but it's like... It was like you had somebody that was so creatively great, to do his little snippets and all the promos and stuff like that. How could you want to book him to lose like that?
Yeah.
Like, he's making it work. But WWE was thinking more, let me make Bray Wyatt torment people.
Mm-hmm.
And that person can overcome. Of course, John Cena being one of his biggest rivalries, 16-time champion, he's going to overcome anything. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah.
It's just like, that's what I'm thinking. And that's why I think it was a good kind of a payback to
Lesnar. I freaking love that.
They didn't lose at WrestleMania. Because I was like, if you let John Cena win that match, how do we feel about it?
And he did win that match.
Did he? No, I thought he would. I thought Bray Wyatt won that.
Well, which match? Are we talking?
WrestleMania, when he was like, Ruthless Aggression.
You're talking about, okay, yeah. The House of Horrors. Not the House of Horrors, but yeah. I freaking love that.
Yeah,
cinematic.
Yeah,
he actually won. Bray won that.
Yeah, that's why I was saying they let him win that one because the previous John Cena matches, John Cena would win. And I was like, they want him to be the villain of like Speed or like those movies where you got somebody that can play with your mind and stuff, but at the end he's gonna lose.
Bray lost 60% of his matches.
That's bullshit.
And that's the problem with Bray, was he did not win. It's not his fault.
Nope.
It was
That's wild. 60% of his matches.
Yeah.
Oh man. I'm buying a Bray Wyatt shirt this weekend. I'm buying a fan shirt.
NXT had a gimmick going that I think could have worked if they just used two other people. For a while, they had the Asian martial arts trainer that was very mythological with Xia Li and that guy. I can't remember the guy's name right offhand. And she was like this mysterious figure that would absolutely, if anybody would come after her, she would absolutely destroy them. And I'm like, I wish they would bring that back because that character was booked right, except you just didn't have good support.
Yeah.
Like, Xia Li, I understand the appeal, but she's not that great.
Right.
She kind of reminds me of what Dana Brooke was. Okay. You want to have faith in them. You want them to succeed, but they ain't there yet. Mm-hmm. You brought them up too soon.
Right.
I wish I could tell you what the other guy's name was, but...
Huh. That's going to drive me a blank, too, because... What happens, because NXT, I'm not... Now I'm locked in, but... It was a faction that was kind of, it wasn't like dark, you know what I'm saying, but it was anarchy type. And it had that, they came out masked. I think Sampa was part of it, if I'm not 100% sure. They came out in fours. It was four of them that would come out there, and then like the music was crazy, and they had masks on. And whenever they get in the ring, they take the lights would go dark, and when the lights come back, their mask is off. I thought that was a pretty good interest, but I can't remember their name, the faction. They come out, and like, because the music was like, burn, and it was like, and the light would go off, and when the light come back on, their mask is off. It was a girl who was in it, too. I think it was like one crazy chick that's in the main roster.
Are you talking about Retribution?
Yep.
Because Retribution was one of the...
What's her name?
She Mia Yim.
Nope.
No.
Nope, not Retribution. Yeah, Cross. Nikki Cross.
Oh, you're talking about freaking Sanity.
Bingo. Sanity.
Sanity was...
Dope.
That's a Vince problem right there, what happened to Sanity, because Sanity should have been booked perfectly the way they were coming out of NXT, and he immediately split everybody up. Because I think the only person left from Sanity is Nikki Cross.
Yeah. That entrance, how they used to... Because I watched the NXT spot where they beat people up and stuff. So they come out there and they was like, Sanity's here. And they would beat the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah.
That was some good... That was a good TV. And I was just rumbling through the channels. I was like, oh, NXT. And I was like, what is that? I'm like, oh. I was like, who is this Tampa guy?
Eric Young, Alexander Wolf, Killian Dane. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And they're all gone.
That's wild.
Except for Nikki, which don't get me wrong, I love Nikki.
Yeah, Sampa wasn't in that. He wasn't in that. It was the Killian Dane. That was the name that I kept on trying to think of. But that entrance and everything, like it was on point. That was on point. Like that shit that got broken up just like straight edge society, like. You ran that and let people eat it up, and then you just went, die.
Yeah. Like, you had everything right going for it, and then you said,
We're done with it.
And that's Vince's booking from NXT in a nutshell. Not many people, they would always put, I'm not saying Vince was a terrible booker, but in the 2010s, he picked the wrong people.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
He would pick the afterthoughts of NXT, the push. Like
he promised him or something.
I'm trying to think. I think the best example is literally the Shield, because you can tell how much everybody loved two of the three, but they kept getting the third one being pushed.
Yeah.
And I still kind of hate the third one over the other two.
Yeah, Dean Ambrose had such a like chokehold on fans, where it was like when Seth did the betrayal, it was like, oh, poor Dean, man. It's like It was like he was the face of that damn faction, to me, the way people took him. Because he was like the underdog of the faction. Like he was the hard, like blue collar, like, you know.
Yeah.
Roman was the guy that seemed like, you know, hey, we got two guys. Here, Roman, we'll be with these two guys.
You got the leader, the enforcer, and then the third guy. Yeah. And that's what it was. But think about when the Shield was a unit. Who was actually the singles champion of the three first?
Seth.
Dean.
I thought Seth was.
Dean won the U.S. title when Roman and Seth were tag team champions.
Sure did.
So, sure did. Realistically, they were doing things kind of right, but flipped the script because...
Dean got a little alky-hulky problem, didn't he?
Yeah, that was a part of it. That was probably the biggest issue. They could trust Roman, they could trust Seth, and... No one can trust Mr. Moxley.
Yeah, he might go into business for himself. You never know. What type of, shenanigans. Especially when CM Punk broke the fourth wall. I think a lot of wrestlers try to imitate that.
You can only do so much to break the fourth wall. You can't just do it every single time. Yeah. And that's what became a constant issue. Because Punk's once in a while, like... Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to
base your character off of it, it makes you look assholish. I mean, like, or a complainer.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, here comes this guy. You know, he's going to complain. And, you know, and it seemed like he did that until he left. Like, you know, when he went to AEW, because it was like, he was like, oh, fuck AEW. Fuck, you know, Chris Jericho, same way, you know. Jericho did so much. Now, that's the difference. Jericho had a right.
So, one of my favorite 2000s, right? We're going to go back to Crash Holly for a moment.
Oh, shit.
He had you know how they always advertise their weights and heights and weights? What did Crash Holly announce he was? One of his gimmicks specifically said he was a 5'8", 400-pound super heavyweight.
I do remember that.
And we all know.
I remember that now. That moves some cobwebs over on that one. But I do remember him always thinking like, I'm like, you know, people mess with the size. They're like, I'm big. He talking about like, oh,
yeah,
200 pounds. Like, yeah, I remember that.
And then the gimmick ended against Rikishi, who was
400 pounds. And you know that sprint that he did, man, was so hilarious, man. Back then. Wrestling had those guys that was more appreciated than guys today, because I think where everybody thinks this person be the main guy. And I think that is a growing problem in wrestling fans today, because O'Shea didn't say that particularly, but I kind of took what he said and basically made it my own take. I think wrestling fans today think everybody should get pushed to the top because they like them. Just like hip-hop, where people might, when SoundCloud came out, when all these different apps came out, when people can push their music for free, didn't have to pay radio station, stuff like that. Oh, this dude the best. Oh, you ain't heard him? He better than what you call it. And he ain't even signed. There's more of that going on in wrestling, to where you have guys knowing damn well they shouldn't be pushed the way they pushed, but you have so many indies that people are good at.
You have, so I agree. Now, I'll give you two thoughts with this, which is kind of like, go back to LA Knight, for example, is a great example of this. LA Knight wasn't ready for where he is currently. And everybody knew that. Even he knew that. And heck, I don't think he even knew he's where he's at now.
Yeah, he even in the Chris Band, he was like, man, I still can't believe it. That he was like, I put the work in. He's like, I did the work. He was like, I ain't trying to be egotistical or nothing.
He's
like,
modest about it.
Yeah, he's like, but I did this.
Yeah, he literally pushed himself. He grabbed the brass ring.
Right.
And then you got kind of something I wish would actually happen, which would be a wrestling game where everybody's stats are the same level-ish. Like, there's no one superiorly better, like Roman versus, who's a low rating, like Jimmy Gargano.
Yeah.
Like, they're both the same rating, but this certain ratings are different, yeah. Movesets are different.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I wanted a wrestling game that's more of a fighting style wrestling game, yeah. That makes you feel like, okay, anybody can beat anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
We're going to go old school. Do you remember the game Saturday Night Fight Masters?
Saturday Night Fight Masters.
I think something like that. It's a wrestling game, arcade wrestling game on the Super Nintendo.
Man,
we're going way back.
I may have played it, but me and Titles that far back, wow. I would have to see the
yeah, cartridge, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because I played a lot of wrestling games because I was scoured, like Hollywood Video, you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm. See, my buddy back then, he owned it. I freaking loved that game. It was just super difficult because mm-hmm. everybody's ready for the same, but as it went on, their difficulty improved, which, you know what? That's fine.
Yeah.
But don't do... I mean, heck, there's some... the first ever SmackDown Shut Your Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who my first career mode was with?
Who?
The Hurricane.
72 overall.
He was like a 72 overall, and I'm trying to go face Taker at 99.
Yeah.
Like,
you can't get up.
You can't win that.
You can do 10 finishers and you're not win. And I think they're trying to do better with that now because, like, I'm a WWE 2K player.
Yeah.
I played WWE 2K, like, all of them. Like, I've not missed one. I'm even on 23 right now. I ain't played 24 because I don't think it's out yet. If it is, I ain't played it yet. But, what they're doing, what you're saying to the Beatmasters is that they're still giving wrestlers overall.
Mm-hmm.
If you're saying you're doing a universe, at least when you're going through weeks and months, you know, overall shift off of your wins and losses into where an 86 could be the 93.
Yeah.
And if it happened, then you're going up to a 94, 95, and the game does it automatically. So, I mean, that's something of a to where I would say that they try to get better because you're right. It was you put yourself to where. Wrestling, when you look at it in a nutshell, yeah, somebody's got a better moveset. They might get a bigger pop. They might be bigger. You know, Johnny Gargano and Bobby Roode, they was like, man, everybody's bigger than us, especially back in 98.
Oh.
You didn't like that order, did you?
Which order?
Johnny Gargano and or say somebody like a Bobby Roode will always be like, man, those guys are so much bigger. Like, you know, it's like, how can we, you know what I'm saying, be able to put on matches? It was like, you know, getting matches with guys you get cool with,
you know,
you do better matches with friends, you know what I'm saying? Johnny Gargano was saying that. Bobby Roode was like, you know, where he fit in, he was like, I was 6 foot, 200 some pounds, real good shape. He was like, but he was like, just think to where at the time he was in when he went to NXT and the music.
Yeah.
And he was like, that music did me to where, in a match to where I might, my chances get better. It is like, that's what you're saying in video games. It's like,
so I pulled up the ratings before they've announced.
Mm-hmm.
And these throw me off completely.
No, Lord.
So as of right now, the highest rated person for you at 96. And you know what?
I believe it.
That's fair.
That's fair.
The lowest rated person right now is Maxine Dupri at 64.
She don't wrestle like that.
She's more valet.
Yes.
But you know what? I understand.
Yes. Because she's trying to get better because she's... I've seen her saying that she's trying to, you know, learn the ways of the ring.
They've released every single member of Judgment Days. Rhea, of course, is top dog.
Mm-hmm.
Finn, then Damian. 87, then 86. Okay. So you're going to cause a civil war just right that alone.
Yeah.
Dominic at 83, which is...
Cedric Alexander was a 79
last
year. He was like a 79. I agree with that. I agree with
that. But Dominic's lost majority of his matches. That's where it's like,
but
would you put Dominic over The Miz?
Is this a world higher than The Miz?
Yes.
No.
83-81.
That's what they're missing.
Which put the Miz over Gable.
No,
this year,
no.
I probably would put Gable over the Miz. Over Miz.
I'm putting Gable over
but
Miz.
But Miz is 81, Gable's 80.
Damn, that's crazy.
Tiffany Stratton's a 79. Oh, I want to make a bad joke. Should I make a bad joke? I think I want to make a bad joke. She's a little 10 points too high.
I like it.
What is Logan Paul?
98.
Oh, man. That's good. Because 88 was close to 90. I'm good with that.
Who's he? He's tied with two other people.
It better be in the ballpark of Ricochet and probably like a LA Knight.
They're not released. Those who aren't released yet.
Oh, okay. But who's there? Who are you near?
Gunther.
Well, that's in the same deal. That's in the LA Knight now. Hold on now.
No. Gunther hasn't lost in a long time.
But Gunther don't even have a finisher.
He has five of them.
Ah, jeez. That was a...
They changed the mechanic of the game to have five different finishers.
Logan don't really got a finisher either. That's
his punch. Punch.
Yeah, his punch is stupid.
Yeah. Just like Roman's finisher. And Tom J.
Gunther is a 90?
Yeah.
That's good.
Jay, Gunther, and Logan are all 90s.
I'm good with that.
Which, to be fair, Jay would have won the title.
Jay shouldn't be a 90.
So, you know what? That's fair.
That's fair.
But what about Solo and Jimmy?
They shouldn't be lower than Jay. Solo shouldn't be lower than Jay. And I like Jay. But Jay is a crowd pleaser. He's a crowd mover. His wrestling is good. But when it comes to finishes, I get lost in being like, well, how are we going to get Jay to win this one? And I hope wrestling fans feel me on that, because there is like that. People can do great moves, can be high energy, but he can start doing that super kick. And we're like, what's your finish? What you going to do to finish it? That body splash ain't it.
No.
It's not it, man. So you got that.
I mean, he kind of has...
The spear.
He has the three moves of doom.
He did spear six times. You know.
He has the three moves of doom. I'm going to super kick you. I'm going to Samoan drop you. I'm going to splash you.
And now I got a spear. Because Roman used to be my cousin. Oh, he still is.
Used to be. Well. All right.
He used to be my tribal chief.
So, Solo's an 86. 4-point dance between him and Jay.
Crazy.
Jimmy's an 84.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Jimmy looks like a manager today.
Jimmy doesn't look like a manager. Jimmy's the third guy.
Yeah, like, he can still do some things, but yeah.
I'm excited for, actually, if anything, years ago, whenever,
he got Naomi. God damn
it. We don't have Naomi yet, either. When they did the AJ Styles versus Finn Balor match, that was a substitution because somebody got injured. I don't remember who it was, but it wasn't the match that was supposed to happen.
What event was this?
Oh, this is pre-COVID, I think. Oh, man, yeah, I think.
Yeah, that was probably like Cesaro or something. I got to see Cesaro laugh. I got to see a bunch of those guys laugh back in those, like, that pre-COVID.
TLC 17. Because he randomly came out because Bray Wyatt was injured. So instead, that was the dumb match. That was the Sister Abigail versus Demon match.
Yeah, that.
And
dog.
That was the last time that I think the Shield was united too.
Dog, that was the dumbest. That was the dumbest thing of all time, man. Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
Bray got pulled for AJ. And during this time, I remember talking with Nodder at the time, which, you know what match I'd love to see with AJ? Or even Finn? I want Jay. Straight up. Because Jay himself could have been a phenomenal singles guy if Jimmy didn't exist. Or Jimmy wasn't
that.
Wrestling or
whatnot. I give him that. He probably have a better finisher right now. He probably be about to.
Well,
you'll never know that, but I think... Let's think about it. The Rock is the only Samoan wrestler I think with the best finishers. Rikishi, I'm not a fan of the, you know, putting ass in the face.
You don't like Snake Face?
His finisher was cool.
I can't remember what his finisher was.
It was a power bomb.
Yeah.
It was a power bomb, but it was like he was scoop. It was a scoop slam. He opened his arms and drops you. So it was like a powerbomb pile driver.
Yeah. It's kind of like Damien's heaven.
Yeah. You know, that move is iconic. Just the big senton bomber, big bomb, big splash, whatever. But Rock, if you think about it, Samoan wrestler through the lineage, he's probably got the best. Definitely. Rock bottom, people's elbow. I mean, like, you run through them all. I mean, you got the Samoan spike, you got the Umaga, you got, and that's basically rock bottom, but it's this choke slam in a sense. So, I mean.
Man, one of my thoughts is,
that's made me think about that. Samoan wrestlers don't get good finishers.
I didn't even think about that. My first thought, okay.
They don't get good finishers except the Rock, man. Like, that's the only person I remember, like, having something dope. And, like I said, Rikishi, that move was cool. Because Roman Reigns, that spear and Superman punch, I'm still not a fan. And
I've never been a fan.
I love the Chopper Chief, man. Like the Bloodline, I'm with. When people say the Bloodline is the best thing, and best storyline in wrestling,
it is.
It's tough to argue that, but yeah.
I just wish their moves were good.
Yes, man. Like, that drop kick he does on the apron, like, the moves throughout the match, dope. Everybody, man. It's just when it gets to the finish, you're like, how are we going to finish? Because people give Karrion Kross's new finisher a hard time. Hell, I would rather Roman do that than the spear. Speaking of Karrion Kross, that better work.
I'm hoping.
Because it's over if it don't.
And I wish. So, I wish I could find it because I'm curious what it looks like.
What's that?
Roman's brother had a running discus leg drop as his finisher.
A running discus leg drop? Who's.
Rosie.
Yeah, Rosie had that, it was basically like Viscera. Man, hey, they are like twins. They're his cousin, right?
What?
No, they're brothers.
That's Roman brother. And Rosie are brothers, yeah.
They are twins.
Yeah, they're
like me and my brother, we don't look that much alike. We look alike. He's a little older. But it's like them two, it's crazy. Oh, he's just bigger. He's just a bigger dude.
It's RBD's setup move.
Yeah.
But it's a 300-pound man doing it to you. Yeah. Which, you know what, by itself, that would hurt.
Rosie, man. Didn't he die?
He did die. Yeah. Shane Helms is one of my favorite guys ever in wrestling. Yeah. You hear me preach this whole time.
I will never forget that. Because, I mean, like, I've been kicking it with you for a grip. And I'm like, if somebody was like, man, Andrew's favorite wrestler, I'd be like, you said it wrong.
Okay, Shane probably is my all-time favorite just because of how down-to-earth he really is. And he's, like, the Shining Wizard move, he invented it.
Yeah.
So he's done.
Now, that I knew before. I mean, that was something that the other Andrew had told me. And that was, like, the Shining Wizard. But it was, like, Hurricane for me, though. Like I said, I used to do that in, like, school. I'd be like, You couldn't tell me I couldn't do that because I'm doing it.
So, I will say one of my favorite Roman pictures is actually him and Shane. When Shane came back to WWE the first time after years. And you can see him at the Rumble in Hurricane gear hugging Roman because Rosie and him were close.
Yep. Man, when that music came on, I said, holy snap. I was like,
I was living with my ex at the time. Because Nutter was busy, so I found myself watching Rumble. He paused about. I yelled. I looked at an apartment complex because I freaking was super happy. And she runs in here. Is everything okay? And I'm like,
Hurricane's here.
He's here. And she's like, yeah, you nerd. I wasn't gonna deny that you're wrong.
Right.
But
really, you know, it's Hurricane. I think for me, a real Royal Rumble callback that made me kind of lose it was a moment I wasn't watching Royal Rumble. And I remember I had to go somewhere. And I, you know how fast social media is. And, like, they was like, It was how I caught it, because it seemed like it just kind of happened, but Royal Rumble had ended.
Yeah.
But I went on my, you know, how, like, at the time, you getting, like, I think ESPN was giving me, like, WWE updates, and I'm like, what the fuck? But I, like, it was like, what? Clicked on it, it was like, Edge is back. And I was like, no. And then, like, the next video I clicked on was the actual video whenever 3, 2, 1, and then that music came on.
You think
on.
You know me?
Bruh. I was like, I'm sitting there like.
Noda and I were watching that live, and we were sitting there like, there's no freaking way.
Man, when he came out there, and when I talked to my real good friend, Andrew, he said, you know the thing that makes me mad? He was like, and I agree. When he came out, the camera cut.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you don't get that camera back on him? Like,
you hear, you think you know me, cuts back to the ring immediately.
Yeah, I was like.
Oh, I remember. Now, the next year for Rumble, when Christian came out with Edge, like, back to back, it was like.
Oh, snap.
And then immediately went to AEW.
Yeah, that was because, like, I was listening to their podcast on the regular, and they was like, this is our last 3 episodes. And I was like, what's going on? And I was like, you know, and then next thing you know, it was like, well, Edge, you know, there are rumors. And I was like, yeah, he's done. He ain't, his neck done. And then that's.
You think you know me?
I didn't watch their Rumble. I had something to do. And like you said, that next one. But I would probably say, other than that, was Mr. Perfect 2004.
2 or 3.
Yeah, 2002.
And it was
2002.
So lackluster.
It pissed me off, man. Like, because when the music hit and he came out there, it was like nobody knew who he was.
Yeah. I remember that one was big.
I'm sitting there like. They're like, what?
Diesel.
Yeah.
That was another lackluster one.
Yep.
MVP's initial one was lackluster until Brock started dancing to it and everybody got into it.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
If I had to say another one, it probably, and that's just going back to when I was a kid, but like when, how was it? Was it, I can't remember what year it was, but I just remember that whenever that music hit, it was just the moment of like, I don't even think it was, I wouldn't even consider it a callback because I was a kid. So, to go back and be like, oh man, da da da. But when, I guess the whole Royal Rumble, it was like, when is Bret Hart coming? When is Bret Hart? We know Bret Hart. And when that music hit, Stone Cold grabbed his bald head and went like it. I think that is a Royal Rumble moment of like,
that was
a surprise. It was like, was he injured or something? Like,
that was 98 or 99.
Yeah, it was 98. No, it was 96.
Yeah, it was the first one of the 3 that he won.
Yeah.
Because it was it was right after the double turn match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which
Bret Hart talked about that, which is funny. I'm going to mention that here after you finish.
Because I remember, it's like, the double turn happens, and then that happens. And it's just like, you have roles reversed, and you can see the anti-hero Stone Cold being.
Just going dumb. Because Bret Hart talked about, you know, I think he was injured or time off, whatever. Because he was like, you know, when I got back, they were like, gave me a list. They said they gave him a list of face names that he was going to, if he stayed face, names that he was going to go up against. And he said the first name they had up for which he was like, I wrestled Vader so much to the point where it was like, I don't want to wrestle Vader no more. And that was the first name on the heel list. I mean, on the face list.
Yeah.
He said, then they gave me the heel list. Like, if you turn heel, this is who you be fighting. Undertaker, Stone Cold, The Rock. And, you know, it was just like, well, The Rock wasn't thinking. He said, Undertaker, Stone Cold, and these 12 people. And he was like, you know,
I guess
go with their list. And he was like, because he said, he made a joke about saying, he said, I love Vader. And he called him Leon. And he was like, he did not wash his gear. He said he was like a big cement truck that smelled like a bunch of barf. And
yeah.
I heard the same thing about Mankind. They said he didn't wash his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They said he didn't buy hotel rooms. They said he slept in lobbies, which is crazy. But but it's like when Bret Hart went heel, I loved it. The Pack of Lions, like it turned the Hart Foundation to something where you like, that's because I couldn't stand it. It's like the Patriots. They were like the you know.
They kind of had that Super Cena vibe before Super Cena.
Right. And it was like, when they went heel, I was like, now that.
I could get my pack of lions. I was like, what? Bret Hart is fire. When he put Rocky Maivia in the figure four on the turnbuckle and went Let It Go.
Yeah.
That was dope. Like, I was a big Bret Hart guy.
I do like the fact we kind of got back. People keep saying we got Hollywood Rock back. Yeah. We have Nation of Domination.
They're right. I'm about to say, what are we talking? Hollywood Rock was Kiki and Funny. Like, they showed a clip of him and Hulk Hogan when he spit in his face. Like, he was goofy. Like,
yeah.
This is not sing along with The Rock. I said,
this is basically the early good rock.
Yep. Fatty. Which is what? Fatty.
I don't mind. Having The Rock back in general is always fine.
Yes.
But getting where he is currently, we needed that heel version of him.
We didn't need a face. Because we get another face Rock thing with Punk. Did it with The Miz, I think, right? Yeah. And it's like, we need this Rock because it's been such a nostalgic thing, but it's like, it's perfect. It was a perfect spot. Mm-hmm. Put you here, you be a heel, make it like you're going, you're doing Roman, but you're going to turn heel. And I think that was the deal. But here's the thing. I want your summary on this.
Okay.
What is your definition of finishing the story? Short summary. Like, what is, when you hear finish the story, what's the first, like, paragraph that comes out your mind?
Cody winning the one title that his dad never did.
Now, you didn't say WrestleMania, did you?
No.
So what's the problem? Like, why is it the way I harked back to 20 minutes ago of fans wanting too much of what they want? And it's like, it doesn't have to be WrestleMania. Hell, if anything, it should be Survival Series. Imagine if he won it at Survivor Series. I mean, it doesn't have to be.
The problem
because September is when he breaks Hogan's record, right?
No, he has another year.
No, it's September, bro.
Is it September?
Yeah, September. September. If he can go to September, he passes WrestleMania era. He passes Hogan. I heard that voice this morning, and I went.
For some reason, I always thought Dusty was a character who mostly lost for some reason in my head, but he won almost 70%
of the matches. I was about to say, he won a lot. Yeah, he... I mean, Dusty did that.
Bionic elbow, yeah.
Yeah, like, he hit three-pointers, man. Dusty Rhodes, I wish I grew up in the 80s, man. I wish I grew up during that time. NWA, Ric Flair talking shit, and Dusty Rhodes talking, Michael P.S. Hayes, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson. I know more of those guys, you know, thanks to my brother, but it's just like, those was the golden years, man. Von Erichs.
You know, I know why I think that.
Charisma was being born.
Because Dusty didn't have that many matches in WWE.
No.
And that's where I'm thinking that, because he never had, that's where probably the story comes from entirely, mm-hmm. is because he never did well in WWE.
Right, because it took too long.
Well, he was made fun of. Yeah. Like, he was one of the first.
They put him in a polka dot suit. When did he wear a polka dot suit in the NWA? That man had on, like, he wore a fur coat in the NWA.
Yeah.
I got a fur coat, baby. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
Same thing with Von Erich. Kerry Von Erich, if he was able to be called Kerry Von Erich, even with a club foot, he would have been all right in WWF. But he called him some warrior. Like, I don't know. Put him with Sting. Or Ultimate Warrior.
Same WWE for a total of 3 years of his life.
Yeah. So, here's your second question.
Okay.
Because we got Elimination Chamber this weekend. What is your WrestleMania setup? Only talking about Undisputed belt. You can mention Seth's belt. But what I'm saying, what is your perfect setup to please fans and... I would say you're a part of the lore.
Get the belt off, Roman.
Before September?
Yeah. Yes.
No, my God.
This is a creative debate. Now, this creates a debate.
We can't repeat last year's Mania.
Just don't have the match.
But it's already booked.
It can't be booked the exact same way with Roman winning again. It's just.
So, what do you think, Rock? You think Rock screwing over Roman?
I think so. What I keep hearing is what they should lead off with. It should be Rock, Roman, Seth, Cody. That'd be a killer opening match for everybody. Because if you're doing the two night Manias, you gotta remember what the Rumble is, the main event of Mania. There are two main events. The women should do night one, the men do night two. That's my ideal scenario.
Yes.
Now, with that said, I feel like the opening match being Roman Seth, Cody Rock, that's what becomes a challenge. Do you want all four do you want Seth wrestling twice on Mania?
Nope.
Don't. Because A, his body probably can't handle it, but it is an excuse to help get rid of the title and still make him look strong.
Thanks.
Because he's already faced one match against
The Rock.
Rock and Roman. Drew winning Chamber most likely is a good way to make Seth still look good, or heck, you can have freaking Damian get involved too. No big deal, just you can get both belt. You can get the belt off Seth so he can go heel. Rock, if Seth and Cody win that, Rock's turning on Roman. 100%. If they don't, it becomes interesting, which wouldn't surprise me. Cody probably eating the pin. That's what's hard. I can see Roman eating the pin easy. I can't see Seth eating it. I can see Cody eating it. And I don't want Cody to eat it. I'd rather have Roman eat it. Because their title match won't be till the next night. So they both get to recoup and go for it again. Roman eats it. Rock just lays out Roman even harder. You can still have Roman look strong, as CM Punk always says. But have Cody win it with a weak and injured Roman. That way, you have Cody who finishes the story. Roman still looks strong. He's just... Everybody broke off on him. All the fun stuff. Mm-hmm. So that is ideally how I would manage that. I feel like every title should honestly change to a degree to help start a new chapter going into Raw Mania.
I don't hate that. I'm actually liking the fact that you kind of thought like me on that a little bit there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't exactly have to be Roman versus Cody. You kind of work your way into that. But when it does be Cody versus Roman, you're saying Cody gets the belt. Roman still looks strong because of your scenario. Seth still looks strong because of your scenario, because he's fighting two matches. The Rock is going to come out looking strong because
he's the Rock.
He's the Rock, but his heel Rock.
Yeah.
So do you think him screwing over Roman is a good thing to make Roman face again? Is that what you're saying?
Like, I have a feeling it's inevitable anyway. And that's what makes it hard. I feel like what we need to do is spin off the Bloodline story away from the title.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you could go into a summer civil war, SummerSlam eclipsing the Rock versus Roman in a tribal chief match, what Jimmy or Jay and Roman did months ago.
Because
you're going to have the sides. And unfortunately, that's going to be the hard part is, would Jay side with Roman because they're both faces?
Mm-hmm.
Or would he go against Roman by going against the heel Rock?
Yeah. That could be the big, you know, reunion, I guess, or something of like...
Because when's the last time we really had a heel face alignment with a tag team?
Rocket Mankind.
I was thinking that. I was thinking the two man power trip technically, but they were both heels.
Yeah, they were both heels though. Only other I could think of that would be like
Dude Love and Austin.
Yeah, Dude Love and Austin or Kane and X-Pac.
I freaking love that tag team.
I love that one, man. I love that tag team, man, because it was like Kane and X-Pac. Like, yeah, it's working. It's working.
I think Kane has the second most tag team championship wins with different partners.
Yeah.
Who's number one?
I'm not saying WWE.
I think it's Kane.
You said Kane was two, right?
I think Kane's two.
Okay. Tag team. Man, I don't know that one. That's tough. Because the names that I'm thinking of would be like Rey Mysterio or Eddie Guerrero. Triple H, Shawn Michaels, yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, in my brain, like Kofi Kingston probably maybe touched it. I don't know. If I got any of those, if any of those, that one of those are right, I would be happy.
Okay, Kane is one.
Okay, so who's two? Yeah.
Edge is two. So I was wrong completely.
I said Edge.
Three is tied with Seth and Ray.
And that is.
Seth, I thought, was one for some reason.
So Edge, okay, I got one right.
Edge had Christian, Ray, Jericho, Orton, Benoit, and Hogan. I forgot about the Edge Hogan one.
Wow.
That's Kane.
Yeah, Hogan was on everybody's team. Brutus Barber, BK. Hell, he was with Virgil. He was with. It was like, oh, we're getting the tag, Macho Man.
So Kane 7. Can you give me Kane 7 before we call it?
What is it now?
Give me Kane 7 to partners.
7 partners?
Mm hmm.
Pac, Undertaker. Didn't he have he wore like a suit almost, like black pants with no shirt. He was with when he with Baron Corbin? No, he just looked like Baron Corbin, just looked like Kane. Yeah, I drew a blank after that. But I guarantee you're gonna name some people wrong, like duh.
Well, okay, let's go with that Baron Corbin era. How about Team Hell No?
Okay.
Daniel Bryan.
Oh, I don't forget about that.
So you did say Taker, yeah. Mankind,
yeah. Oh, I forgot about
that. X-Pac, Daniel Bryan, RVD.
You never would have guessed it.
Big Show. Yeah. That tag team was weird.
That's weird.
And then the one that probably confuses you more, the Hurricane.
I actually remember that.
I do.
I remember that, man. That's sad I forgot about that.
So you should know that one.
Man. I remember that, man. Because he was perfect with that, like, that type of setup. Because he wasn't like an enigma. Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
he just wanted to fight.
Yeah, like, I got Kane with me. Like, he was like, I got a Hulk.
98 Kane is the peak.
Yes, yes. By far. And that's why whenever people look at me weird, because they get mad at me calling him a mid-carder. I'm not calling him a mid-carder. They had him destruct all the mid-carders.
Yeah.
He was a mid-carder phenomenon. What I'm saying is that when 98 came, he didn't pop up at the end of shows, main events.
No.
In the beginning or middle of the show,
he was always
lights
fun
turned
to watch.
Red, he came out there, he beat the hell out of you, he left.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where Vader was like, hey, I'm challenging you to a match. And I'm challenging you to a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, snap. Like, Vader versus, you know, you have Vader versus Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can see somebody fight back, because when he came out there, he fought back. He was a mid-carder destruction. So people were like, who's the best mid-carder? I say Kane. Because when he started to die down from his peak, what was he?
Mid-carder. That's
And he's like number one in wins.
Number one most matches
most
all
matches?
Time.
Now he's got the most wins in tag matches?
Mid carders, yes.
That's what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's the best mid carder.
That's not a compliment.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd rather deal with 98 Kane than 2024 Kane.
Right. I'd rather have Dolph Ziggler's bank account than, because if Dolph Ziggler, if he was smart with his money, I would rather have his bank account than Ryback's. Because Ryback might have merch. He might have did good on merch and stuff like that, but short lived.
I don't want to talk about Ryback today. That's a whole.
Hey, here we go.
Goldberg Jr.
Big guy.
Hey, the way Steel Punk said, I looked at him and said, either you did that on purpose or you fucking stupid. He said, I'm fucking stupid.
He said both. Both is the correct answer.
Oh, man. That's funny. But yeah, I like that. My thing for to end it off would be for my WrestleMania thing would be this. Leading up to WrestleMania, with kind of like what you were saying, but I'm piggybacking what O'Shea said because I've brought this up to you before. Mm-hmm. And this was about the belts. Because I asked you a question about the belts by saying, well, how did they even get to this, having this? Remember I asked you that? Mm-hmm. Piggybacking what O'Shea said because it's kind of in my same lane. I'm not trying to copy off what he's saying just because I heard him say it, because I was literally thinking the same thing. Why not have Cody go against Rollins, even though people don't want to see that? I dig it. But have a situation where he takes that belt from him, because if you want to be the Undisputed, you have to take that belt from him. But what I'm going to say to that is that he already went against Roman once. So, yeah, people might be like, well, why do that? At least let us see Roman versus Rock. And if Rock wins, if he takes the belt from Roman, which I don't want him to do, that Cody and Rock match could happen, SummerSlam.
Here's,
you know what I'm saying,
counterpoint to that.
And he can finish the story against The Rock. Would you rather finish the story against The Rock or against Roman?
Do you want Cody versus Seth 4 or Roman Cody 2?
I would rather have 4 just to get The Rock a better setup. Because I don't want The Rock to be... I'm not trying to be a homer or a fan, like Stan or nothing. But my thing is that I don't want this... I don't want this run to ruin Cody's, but I don't want this run to where people be like, man, y'all remember when Rock came back, how stupid that was? I don't want that.
I don't want that either, but we got a guy who has how many years of ring rust? I want to give him a tag team match where he can recoup, get back in the game, and then go main event, is what I'm asking. Kind of what Ronda did, yeah. Kurt. Let the man rehab himself before we send him straight in the spotlight. Think about Shane last year.
Yeah, man, I gotta shake your hand on that one.
Use Rock as an accessory for this specific, and then let him carry.
Yeah, man. And that's where we end the show right there, because, man, when Shane McMahon went in that ring, he had all intentions of being that Shane McMahon that we all remember, just giving that dollar energy and all that. And
then he goes full Vince.
One of the craziest freak accident injuries I've ever seen, next to Vince McMahon. In which we will end the note by saying that guy, I'm so glad he's gone and disappeared from WWE. Sauce Talk, I'm out. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode of Sauce Talk. I hope you enjoyed the talk that me and Andrew Holston had on the sport of pro wrestling. And, you know, with Elimination Chamber coming up, and what we was able to talk about and the new things that's happening with the sport, and mergers and all that stuff like that, we will get into in future episodes and talk about what happens, say, like Elimination Chamber. So that is something that I got cooking up for the future at, you know, leading up maybe to after this weekend, there's going to be an episode talking about Elimination Chamber. So there's that. Boxing episodes are going to be coming after that. We got boxing matches this weekend as well with Berlanga going up against McCrory. It's his first fight as a matchroom boxing fighter, Edgar Berlanga. We all know who was at ESPN, part of Top Rank. Now he's going to be fighting on DAZN under the matchroom boxing umbrella, ran by no other than Eddie Hearn. And of course, after that, we got bigger fights, bigger fish to fry, Kambosos going up against Lomachenko. You know, we just heard the big news, and I talked about it on my TikTok that you can go and look at. Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, Keith Thurman, Tim Dazoo, first pay-per-view for Amazon, who's now carrying the umbrella of PBC. So all that is going to be on here, Sauce Talk, on Spotify. Check my TikTok out, Sauce Talk, S-O-S-S Talk. Check it out, TikTok. Real good content. Content, like I said, trying to marry that with this podcast. Y'all have a good one. Take it easy. Take care. Have a good weekend and all that good stuff.